Poetry on the Radio, poetry in and around the ACT. Today, we speak, as we did last week, with two of the editors of a fascinating anthology of poetry about childbirth. Plus, The Rhyming Bugle, poetry news from the region. For ArtSound FM Community Radio, I'm Kimberly K. Williams. As we noted last week, in 2021, Canberra-based Recent Work Press published What We Carry, Poetry on Childbearing, an anthology of writing by some 60 contributors from around Australia about an ordinary, extraordinary human experience. We spoke with two of its three editors. In the ArtSound studios was Ella Kurtz, who, in her PhD work in midwifery, developed the concept of parturescence, transformation through pregnancy and childbirth. Online from rural Victoria was Claire Del Hunty, a poet and fiction writer, editor, and journalist. The third editor of What We Carry is Simone King, a Canberra poet, editor, and legal and policy advisor. In today's episode, we'll hear several poems from this book. First, let's hear Claire Del Hunty recount her bracing experience of giving birth by cesarean section.
Go home, woman. Don't look surprised, go home, woman. You're fine. Technically, you take up space that another fighter needs. Someone whose beetroot ooze is 8 hours fresh, not 36 like yours. Get up, go home, woman. Your teeth have stopped chattering in shock. Your babe feeds. Yesterday, your husband followed you into the shower, shocked, as the fat red blots fell on the white tiles, heavy as tropical rain. He looked on helpless with paper towel, pat-dried your thighs, turned more white to pink from the dye on your belly. That was yesterday, go home, woman. You'll be back in 2 weeks when the clexane stops and your body decides to pour forth all the blood you've pent up instead of feelings. You joke in the ambulance while your blood pressure drops and you feel your backside awash, but say nothing. Your baby follows quietly with Dad, dressed in her best, all he could find. She won't mind that you wear a nappy of your own to catch the blood from her. Don't worry, 1.5 litres it can hold while you hold her. You'll sit a while when you get home, go home, woman. You'll sit afraid of your muscles, scared to sneeze, unable to exit your bed without a sweat, as you feel how much is broken. How much came apart on that simple table, that straight line, life-giving opening that set you both free. So free to leave, go home, woman. You will meet and talk to many more, make friends with other go home women, some who didn't mind at all, but so many who went home scared, guilty because it's not the same, not as grave as other cuts. A duty to make yourself scarce, make way for the next woman in need, but all sent off with a warning. Now don't come back, go home, woman, not too fast. Yes, yes, it was a simple thing, just a little rent, but you're not fit to come back soon from this break. Don't test the tear before time, or you'll be back here, go home, woman, and it will be worse than the first time when we send you home again.
I've noticed that poem really resonates with people. Claire's read that a few times. I think you read it at our launch, Claire, or you even performed it. We had musicians at the launch who put music to some of the poetry. And I had a friend who was listening in to the launch online, and she actually had to stop watching at that point because she was so moved, and it reminded her of her recent experience, which had not been that positive when she gave birth. That just, I think, touches that nerve, Claire, that you were able to get that into those words so well.
Thank you. That's very kind. Yeah, it was very, cathartic to be writing that. It's not the best advertisement for one's experience of a cesarean section. As I allude to, some people have a really positive experience, but that was mine, and that was really raw. As Ella mentioned, we had a musical accompaniment at our launch, which I think amplified that emotion, and I've had only warm, kind responses to it. And gosh, it did me a world of good to write it down and get it out in that way. And it's very obvious that what's in that is sort of a sense of shock and loneliness and disbelief that this is how it went down, and that I've seen the other side of a certain process through which your child can come into the world. It was a very healthy process to have that down as a poem.
Next, Ella Kurtz introduces and reads a poem by Victorian poet Jo Langdon, and then reads one by Natalie Harkin, a First Nations poet from South Australia.
This poem, I really loved the play between language and her experience, and how she combines those. Tend, by Jo Langdon. I could some days mistake for a flower, the perineum, by letter and sound, it's true. Like some variant nasturtium of jaunty colour atop salad leaves and dressed in bright oil, else a perennial among the dahlia, salvia, agapanthus, lobelia. The soft give, stretch of leaf, bend and wet, break of succulent, echeveria, aloe, jade. In the clinic, she said, I'd like to make another stitch. Is that okay? Then, let's hope it works. Let's hope. Though it's true that petals in disrepair don't really resemble anything else, my daughter tears their heads open, her fat baby fists unforgiving, each garden rife for ruinous joy, the pleasures of unmaking a body like a bed, like a plan, like a seam pulled loose, a piece of cake. It worked in the way that things work out, like a platitude. Love fell over us anyway, unforgiving, in stark summer light, here where pictures pin us to tired bodies against pink walls, those sure and perfect buds of climbing rose, of fuchsia, beyond us. It's true, I don't have the language I once did. The Red Offerings for My Children by Natalie Harkin. I know you before we meet. You feed from the blood of my grandmother's womb. You kick to survival songs before you swallow the air. You slide through calm waters. You fly fast and high. Then you duck, dive, land with the clearest, most innocent of birth awakenings to your memory place. There is so much to remember here. These threads spun from the purest love and the deepest wounds, bitter sweet offerings for you. Gather what you can as they appear. Weave them gently straight to your roots. Let them divine their way in. Love them with your whole body as you grow to full bloom. Weave them slowly and forever mourn. Please know, this is the way it should be, for your blood memory forever pumps where beloved hearts have stopped. There will be reflections of you, echoes of you. Your ancestors will find you in a world that would then disappear, a world that would still slice you, contain and define you, a world that would say you don't exist, for you too will bear witness in the darkest, most violent of spaces. These bittersweet threads, gather them up, keep weaving. You will survive, thrive, know your place and you will be whole. Be brave, weave new offerings to your ancestors, to your children's children. No matter how far back or forward you go, I am with you always. You will find us. And this beginning can never end. From their last breath, that whispered new beginnings for us to breathe in deep, to our first and final breath, weave these threads, remember with love, to thank them.
Now, two poems from the third editor of What We Carry, Simone King.
Carrying you. I feel your tug on life in throbbing breasts, aching limbs, the small signs you are still there, attaching, dividing, developing, staking a claim. Thoughts attacking, lining up questions I can't answer. Are you safe, flourishing? Can I trust my body to open to you? To give you what you need to carve legs, teeth, soul out of ripples of darkness. And although I'm not supposed to love you yet, you who I've known for 2 short weeks, who may stay or go, crude cluster of cells, are constantly with me, an edge in every emotion, adding awe to my cornflakes and staccato heartbeat and breath. To once simple negotiations of curb and root, turning me suddenly into a protector of tiny, fragile life. Goddess Birth. I wanted to visit the old woman in the woods for the special purpose spoken of in Birth Meditation Track 7, but I didn't walk the tree-lined path with sunlight and cinnamon leaves crunching underfoot. Didn't smell clary sage hanging from her roof, didn't clasp her hands in mine, or feel her whiskers comb my cheek. Squatting naked on tiles, dingo howls off white walls, pushing, pleading with bones, open. Mind on fire, fear piercing keener than pain. I can't get her out. My body too narrow. She might die. I wanted the old woman to hold me, to fold wisdom into womb. I wanted to be the goddess on the birthing video, curve-lipped and coming into her own as she pulsed her babe into bathwater. Her heartbeat, boom, 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 a drum bringing in the sun. I plead through salt to be cut, way too late. You need to keep going. So I heave every inch of me, all the sugar in my cells. There is no old woman, no goddess, just my body. Flesh through flesh, little soul through the gate. Her face meets cool blonde summer morning, this other world of air and light. Hello, Maya, a whisper from below. She is safe, alive, not crying, but beating, breathing, and blue. She is lifted, is on me, skin to skin, heart to heart, swollen peach nipple to lips, and she eats whatever is left of me, love and milk, and I give them willingly.
Simone King. Next, we hear from Canberra poet Jackie Malins.
Could be. My could be. I knew you were there, knew, before I knew. You were an apple seed changing me from the inside out, germinating, sprouting slender blood roots, stretching fresh blush tendrils of need to ready my flesh for your shaping. Once I knew you were there, I knew, with rare clarity, I did not want you. Mute shout from my core, a knowing so sure you were not for me. I wondered, what kind of person, of woman, my certainty made me. It never wavered. I could have done it, yes, could have mothered. Had the means, but not the need, but not the want. So I asked them to help me to spit out the pip of you, not to be split by you. Oh, I stayed free.
Jackie Malins. Now, another Canberra poet, Penelope Leyland.
Laundry. Thunder prowls the afternoon. Nappies on and off the line. It will rain but doesn't. They come back dry. The baby wails under glass. Fingers pressed white on the pane. All blood to the brain. Sound muted, not drowned. The nappies are as stiff as sticks. They'll crackle against her. It will rain but doesn't. They come back stiff. The baby sleeps, smeary soft throat catching from crying and being alone. Safer out here with the thunder and nappies, in the laundry sharp with ammonia. Pulled from the edge, the nappies rip free, peg springs snapping, dislocated legs jumping like locusts into the weeds. I'll tell him it rained, I'll say I had to hurry, get them in. There's joy in small destructions, power over pegs.
Penelope Leyland. Canberra-based Moya Pacey introduces the poem she contributed to the What We Carry anthology. It seemed he was loved until that moment.
My poem begins with an epigraph. It's a quotation from a doctor, an Italian doctor, who works at a big hospital in Rome called Dr. Pierre Michel Paolillo. He's set up a safe room where babies can be left to be cared for. This was in response to babies being left in all sorts of places in all sorts of weather, and some babies not surviving that at all. And he was very worried about this, and he wanted a place where mothers could leave their babies without being identified, and where they could be placed in a warm, safe crib and collected very quickly after they'd been left there. When I read this article, I was really very touched by it, and I started to think, well, what would be behind that particular action? And all sorts of things obviously would feed into that moment. But I really liked the fact that that doctor said there is often an act of love behind what to many people would be something, maybe an unforgivable act, but certainly an act of pure desperation. It seems he was loved until that moment. Often there is an act of love behind abandonment. She finger presses his flannel nightgown soft, fastens the cloth napkin, inhales the nape of his neck, feathered like a nest, tastes the fold behind each ear, shawls him neatly like a bird, smiles one last time at his small clawings, covers his mouth with hers, and would take him back inside herself, if only she could.
Moya Pacey. Now another Canberra-based poet, Jen Webb, reads The Origin of the World.
I'm Jen Webb, and this is my poem from that lovely anthology, What We Carry. And in my case, it's the account of my first experience of childbirth. My poem is titled The Origin of the World, which is, of course, an homage to Gustave Courbet's painting of the same name, a painting of a woman's genitalia. And I chose that because, fundamentally, when you're about to give birth, it seems that the only thing you are to the world around you is that painting. The Origin of the World. You walk the ramp to not sure where. Each foot finds its stable point before it will agree to take your weight. And then it's the pain that, contrary to what you were told, comes from outside, the impress of great hands on skin. Later there will be bruising. The room dissolves into shapes, a pillar curled, the neck of a swan, its blind eye tracking you to the bed. Snakes across the floor, snakes across your breast. Don't look into the abyss. It has its eye on you. Now the weight of your belly washes you up against the rocks where the doctor's steel tools are on show, where the midwife stands back, rebuffed. You have forgotten where you end and the world begins. Someone inserts a laundered hand. Someone wraps a belt around your waist. Your heart is beating, your cervix stretching, your womb preparing for farewell. when you cry out, the only sound is of the sea raging.
The last of our readings today from What We Carry, Poetry on Childbearing, published in 2021 by Recent Work Press, are by Canberra-based poet Melinda Smith.
Given. This poem is based on four lines of another poem, 5 days old, by Frances Webb. Frances Webb's four lines are these. Christmas is in the air. You are given into my hands, out of the quietest, loneliest lands. My trembling is all my prayer. Given. Poolside baby showers herald the summer pregnancies. Sweat caresses swollen knees. Mothers tally labour hours. Gift wrap is everywhere. Christmas is in the air. But by the time you come, first frost has been and gone. A long walk brings you on. I howl 10 hours, a dumb animal shocked at pain's demands. You are given into my hands, all downy with the smell of love, my warm, wise frog. Then 8 months of the black dog. I crawl back from cold hell that no one understands, out of the quietest, loneliest lands. Now you seem newly made, or is it me? Newborn. Chill fog melts in the dawn, and now I am afraid of how much I can care. My trembling is all my prayer. Baby howl. I saw my mind denied regeneration, frayed by madness, sleep-starving, hysterical, stonkered, dragging my body out to the shed at dawn looking for an hour's kip. I saw my self-control crumpled to a sodden Kleenex in the waste paper bin of night. I saw myself surface, aching, each morning, joyless, palpitating, fog-blinkered, craving unconsciousness like air.
Melinda Smith. Finally, it occurred to us to ask editors Ella Kurtz and Claire Del Hunty what the book's reception has been among midwives and other birth workers.
It's a really interesting question. When we were more engaged in the marketing period following the launch of the book, I did reach out to a number of birth workers, so obstetricians, midwives, doulas, and trying to spread the word, and I found that it wasn't extremely well received. There was interest, but I don't know if that's because poetry is a niche art form, or it shouldn't be, but it seems to be that way at this stage, that people still felt it was inaccessible to them, or whether people are so engrossed in that experience in being a birth worker that maybe there isn't space for those other dimensions or hearing more about the experience. But I think we found that it was a general public who was a lot more engaged with the book than those professions.
Yeah, it is an interesting one. I think the anthology, we're pretty proud of how accessible it is, and we really enjoyed a sort of curating it into sections that hopefully give a nice flow to the reader following what's within, and it really signposts it so that if people are not really ready to read about some of the more confronting or traumatic parts, we also have some really positive, beautiful poems in there, but it's the whole gamut. So there are some really confronting ones. It is sort of well sectioned so that you can just dip into what really might resonate with you. Hopefully it finds its way to a few more health carers, because I think it's always a pretty vital part of practice to be connecting with the human side of those you're looking after and caring for. We have had great feedback and engagement from
the general public, and lots of friends and family who give it to anyone who's expecting a baby. And I think they always give the gift with the warning that you should just go to the section you would most like to, because it is so broad and diverse.
I guess I wear a couple of hats in approaching this book, but having given birth and enjoying writing and poetry, and also having worked as a midwife. And something that I was surprised about when all the poems came together, and I'm a little bit embarrassed to admit, because midwifery prides itself on being with women, which means that you walk alongside a woman or a non-binary person giving birth and their family. And I guess you try and be non-judgmental in that process and meet them in their need wherever they're at. But I think, just to speak for the profession of midwifery, because I can't speak for any of the others, I think we do value ourselves, and maybe sometimes we overvalue ourselves. I was surprised that so few of the poems touched on midwives or obstetric care. There certainly are some that touch on it when it comes to the more traumatic experiences. But I do wonder if that sort of dovetails into why it hasn't been as well received in the health professional community. Maybe because there is still that hierarchy which is a bit out of whack, where health providers are sort of at the top of the hierarchy, and the people coming in to have their babies, or in the illness model, who are coming in to receive care, are lower in the hierarchy, and possibly we're not always valuing their experience enough, even though we like to think we are. But providing that real person-centered care is still challenging, and maybe in some ways this book is even confronting in that way, to sort of make us question, how well are we meeting these people in these times of need and meeting their need?
Next week on Poetry on the Radio, we speak with Keith Harrison about his extensive career in letters, in poetry, translation, criticism, and more. I'm Kimberly K. Williams.
The Rhyming Bugle. At Smith's Alternative in Civic, on October 30, Mother Tongue Multilingual Poetry presents Ilea Mariano and Cabo Cathon. Ilea Mariano is a Filipino poet who was the inaugural Canberra Slam champion in 2022. The recitation group Cabo Cathon has been celebrating Bengali culture through performing arts at community events since 2018. The Canberra-based early music consort, Apeiron Baroque, is holding an evening of music and poetry at Wesley Music Centre at the Wesley Uniting Church in Forest on Sunday, November 12 at 5 p.m. Apeiron's John Maher, violin and viola d'amore, and Marie Searles, harpsichord and forte piano, will be joined by the hosts of Art Sounds Poetry on the Radio, Kimberly K. Williams and Peter Searles, as well as poets Penelope Leyland and Jackie Malins, to present poems from the newly published Book of Birds anthology from Recent Work Press. For more information, go online to Apeiron Baroque, A-P-E-I-R-O-N. On Saturday, December 2, at the University of Canberra, Poetic Movements will hold a workshop, Visual Poetry 101, with poetry book illustrator Karen Florence. The half-day poetry workshop, hosted by the University of Canberra's Centre for Creative and Cultural Research, is for people who'd like to experiment with ways to present poetry visually. Search online for University of Canberra Visual Poetry 101. Poetry on the Radio is produced weekly on unceded traditional land in the studios of ArtSound FM and airs Sundays at 4:30 p.m. and again at 10:30 p.m. on Mondays and online at artsound.fm. Series hosts are Kimberly K. Williams and Peter Searles, who produced the program with me, Peter Monahan. Find out more on the Poetry on the Radio page under the Programs tab at artsound.fm. Our theme is an imagining of an ancient Greek hymn to the muse Calliope by Gregorio Paniagua and the Atrium Musica de Madrid.
Je suis le petit chevalier, avec la terre dessous mes pieds. J'irai te visiter, j'irai te visiter.